Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chavav. We are holding on Daf Chav Hey Amid Beis toward the bottom of the page at, where are we? Amar Rava Bein Tana Didan. Last one line is Tana, about 8-9 lines before the end of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also sponsored anonymously in memory of Nachman Daniel, Dani Ben Aryeh Tzvi Morris, Zichrono Levracha, who is learning Daf Yomi amongst all his other Siddharim at Shalavim before he was Nifter last week, and whose father Aryeh is a regular listener of our Daf Shir. Also, Li'il Nishmas, Yechiel Gershon Ben Yisrael Avram Alevi by his family, Neshama Shavin Aliyah, and the family Shavin Nechama, also Baron Kapstick for Rafua Shlema, for Aryeh. Leib Ben Matel, who is recovering from surgery, should have Refuah Shlema Bekarov, and also by my aunt and uncle Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, Lili Nishmas, Jack's mother and my wife's grandmother, Chana Hendel Bas Avram Yosef, whose yard site is tomorrow, the Nesham Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for these sponsorships. So first thing we're going to do is finish up the last piece before the Mishnah. We went through four different possibilities of the Seder HaDvarim in terms of the limbs that were brought up toward the to the ramp of the Mizbeach, in what order those limbs were brought. So the Gemara is going to discuss why our Mishnah didn't give any of those four orders that we had mentioned, which one it's most similar to, and what the point of dispute is. Then in the Mishnah, the Tabu Chavav HaMinal is going to discuss the Pius HaShlishi, and that was for the Ketores, and you always had new people bringing the Ketores because it was the Skula for Ashirus. Gemara is going to discuss why it is that the Karban Ola is not also a Skula for Ashirus. And then the Gemara is going to talk about the fourth Pius, the Pius HaRavi'i, as well, that according to the Mishnah, it's to bring the limbs up to the Mizbeach from the ramp. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, you don't need a pious for that, because the same people who brought it to the ramp are going to bring it up from the ramp. Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to talk about how many people were involved in bringing the Karban Tamid each and every day, and it really depended on a number of factors, but it was always between 9 and 12 people. And the Gemara is going to then add that Nisuch HaMayim must have only been done in the morning time on Sukkot, and not in the evening. Then the Mishnah at the end of the daf is going to discuss how an ayil needs 11 people and a par needs 24 people, what the division of labor was when it came to bringing these karbanos. So let's pick up again at Amar Rava Bein Tana Didan. That's where we left off yesterday, about 8 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rava Bein Tana Didan Ubein Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What Rava is coming to address is that the Mishnah had mentioned the Shita of the Tanakama in bringing the Evarim to the ramp of the Mizbeach, that Harosh Varegel, Shtei Yedayim, Ha'okitz Varegel, Achazav HaGeira, Shtei HaDefanos, it's not like any of the Tanayim in the Brisa. We had four different Shitas in the Brisa. The Mishnah doesn't conform with any of the Tanayim in the Brisa. So Rava says, no, Bein Tani Danu, Bein Rabbi Yossi, Basri Yiluya DeBiswazinan. In principle, the Tan of our Mishnah agrees with Rabbi Yossi, which is one of the four Shitas we had, and that is that you start with the choicest part of the animal, the best parts of the animal, and that's the order that we do it. The only point of dispute between them is how do you determine what's considered best. So that's where you have the machlokas. So it's just that Marazil Basar Ivra Debisra, the Tanakama of our Mishnah, goes after the size of the Evarim, that the largest Evarim come first for Hakrava, and therefore the Adayim and the Regel come first because they are the largest of the limbs of the animal. They have a lot of meat associated with them, they have a lot of meat on them. Umarazil Basar Shimna Debisra, and the other one looks at the quality of the meat, at the fattiness of the meat. So the Tanakama of our Mishnah disagrees with all the Tanaim in the Braisa. It's just that he agrees in principle in terms of the motivating factor in terms of what goes first. He agrees with Rabbi Yossi. It's just as it plays out, he determines what's best by different criteria than that which Rabbi Yossi determines. The Achronim are bothered by Akasha, that normally when you have a Tana that totally disagrees, when you have a Braisa that quotes all the different Tanaim, and the Mishnah doesn't conform to any of them, we normally ask that as Akasha. We normally don't just comment, oh, the difference between them is, we normally say, who's the author of the Mishnah? It can't be. We have a whole list of all the people that are in all the Shitos. So who's the author of the Mishnah? So the Rashash explains, based on a rush in the first paragraph of Masechet Sukkah, that the Gemara only asks that when it has an answer for that. It only asks that when there's a way to say that it actually does conform to one of the Shitos in the Brisa. But over here, it doesn't have an answer for that. I mean, it doesn't really. It doesn't work out with anybody. It's closest to Rabbi Yossi because he's at least guided by the same principle. So the Gemara doesn't ask that unless it has an answer for it. The Ritva says, no, that's exactly what Rav is trying to address, meaning which Tana or Mishnah. So it doesn't phrase it as a question, but clearly it's an implied question, and that's what he's trying to say. So the whole machlokas is whether we look at the size, we look at the quantity, or we look at the quality, the fattiness of the meat. I don't remember if Rav Yosef Engel has this as one of his rayas. Rav Yosef Engel has a long piece in Asvan Dal Rais or Lekach Tov in one of his svarim about whether, when it comes to mitzvos, we're more interested in quality of mitzvah or quantity of mitzvah. Meaning, is it better to do, or averos for that matter as well? Is it worse to do many averos or worse to do one very big avera? And he has like 20 rayas from all over Shas and Poskim. So this luchara would be a good raya. Are we interested in quantity or are we interested in quality? If we're interested in quantity, so then you bring the larger piece. We're interested in quality, so then you bring the fattier piece. So my time is salka regal bade resha. Why is it that the hind leg always went together with the head? Mishum duration nefishibe atzamos, because the head has a lot of bones in it. So cover regal bade. So we bring the regal with it because the regal has a lot of meat. So to compensate for the fact that the head, which has to come first, has a lot of bones in it, is not a very fleshy part of the animal. So we bring with it the regal, which has a lot of delicious meat. So Gemara explains, Dekuli Almamias Rosh Karv Bresha. Everyone seems to agree, though. One thing that they all agreed upon is that the Rosh comes first. So Minalan, where do we know that from? Ditanya. Minayan, the Rosh HaPatash Kodnul Kalei Varim. How do I know that the Rosh and the Kirbayim that go together with the Rosh come before all the other Evarim? Tamalomer, because the Pasuk says, Ves Rosh Ves Pidro Va'arach. So from the fact that it says Rosh HaPeder, before it says Va'arach HaKohen Osam, so it sounds that before that the first thing is the Rosh, and that's the first thing he arranges is the Rosh and the Peder, and then all the other Evarim come afterwards. Chavetz Chaim points out in Likutei Halachos that not only bringing it to the Kevesh, but it's also when it comes to the it's not only when it comes to being Maktirit, when it comes to being Molich, the Rosh and the Peder, that's also the Kodim L'Kalei Evarim, even though the Pasuk is talking about Haktara. So we're bringing a Raya in terms of what you would bring up to the ramp first from a Pasuk about Haktara, but there's stands to reason, says Chavetz Chaim in Likutei Halachos, that they would be the same, meaning for a prioritize this part of the animal. As far as Haktara, I should probably prioritize as far as Halacha as well, because, if it was first in line for the Halacha toward the Mizbeach, so it's going to be first in line to be Huktar on the Mizbeach as well. V'idach peder achrina, and the other time, the word peder, it says in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk tells us, V'archu ben Aaron ha-Kohanim es-Hanasachim es-Harosh ves-Hapader, so that, what does that teach us? L'may yasa, what's it coming to be Mechadesh? L'chidetanya, comes teach me what it says in the following Braisa. Ketzaroya osa, what would the Kohen do when he was when he brought the Evarim up to the Mizbeach, that he would dafka put the peder on the base hashchita to cover the area of the neck that was exposed, where the animal was cut, in order that it should be b'derech kavod, that you shouldn't have the exposed incision, the exposed severed head of the animal, so they would cover it up with the peder in order to make it more palatable to be able to see such a thing. It's more kavod shalmaila. Okay, so now the Mishnah moves on to the next pious. HaPayas HaShlishi, the third raffle that they would do Chadashim, L'Ketores Bo V'Fisu. They would say, anyone who never did the Ketores before in your lifetime, you're eligible to enter this this raffle to determine who gets to do the Ketores, but they would never have people repeat doing the Ketores. It's only people who never did it before. The Gemara will explain why. V'Arvi'i, and then the fourth pious, Chadashim Im Yishanim, Mimalei V'Armin HaKevish L'Mizbeach. They would have both new and old come to determine who's going to bring the Evarim from the ramp now up to the Mizbeach. There is a machlokas rishonim, how many kohanim would be malah the Evari Tamid from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. Rashi says that it was one kohen that did all of it, that the fourth pious, whereas when we just went through all these different shitos about the order of bringing up the different limbs to the Kevesh, and we said in the Mishnah that several kohanim were involved in that, and we divided up the labor of who carried which parts of the animal. Rashi's shita is on Amud Bey. Rashi is going to say in Dibra Maschel Atzmo that one Kohen takes it from there to the top of the Mizbeach. He has to make a few trips, obviously, but it's only one Kohen. However, the Ritva disagrees. He has a lot of kashas and Rashi from a lot of different places, and he says, just like six Kohanim brought it to the ramp, six Kohanim are going to bring it from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach to burn it there. But that was the fourth pious. And now it says the Gemara, Tana, may olam lo shana adam ba. Going back to the Ketores, no one ever brought the Ketores more than once. My time. taima. Why not? So Rabbi Chanina meshema asheres, because the Ketores has a segula that it gives a person ashirus. So we want to spread the wealth. We want everyone to have an opportunity to have that ashirus. Chassam Sofer and Orachaim Sim Kufin Ches and Teshuva says, wait a second. Why are we more concerned about ashirus than we are about mitzvos? Shouldn't we want to spread mitzvos? Oh, the one thing that's ashirus. Oh, everyone's got to get a chance. Everyone needs ashirus. A good kasha, right? When it comes to mitzvos, okay, same guy will do the mitzvah over and over again. Let that guy do it again. It's okay. He's already muchzuk. I don't need to do it. So why is it that we have such an attitude? Okay, Amalei Papa Abaye my time. So Papa says, why is it that the Ketores is ma'ashir? Why is it that it has this school of wealth? Ile mishum duksiv yosim ketora ba'apecha uksiv basrei. And the pasuk says, Baruch Hashem chelo. So you see that you get bracha from the Ketores. Ihachi olanami haksiv chalalanus b'checha. By the Karbon Olah, it also says in the very same pasuk, v'chalil. Chalil is a reference to an Olah, and yet it also, Baruch Hashem Chelo, goes on that as well. It goes on the Olah as well. So shouldn't a bracha v'ashirus come from the Karbon Olah? Amalei, hashchicha alo shchicha. No, because Karbon Olah, you can bring whatever you want. You can bring an Olah Snedava. So since it's so common, it can't be that it's going to be ma'asheris. But the Ketores is very limited. You can't bring a Ketores whenever you want. It's brought twice a day, but that's it. And then you can't bring it any other time. So it turns out that that's why it has the skula for Ashiras. According to Rashi, that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. According to Rashi, Lamaskana Sagamara, the Ola is not Ma'ashir. It's only the Ketores that gives a person the skula for Ashiras. However, the Tosis Yeshanim wonders, why would that be? If the Ola is said in the same pasuk of Baruch Hashem Chelo that you have the Ketores in, so it has the same bracha, meaning it says it in the pasuk. So therefore, Tosis Yeshanim says that the Akrabas HaOla is Ma'ashir, those people are involved in it. When the Gemara says Ihachi Olanami, the Gemara is asking, why don't they say Chadashim Leolava? You know, why aren't we careful that Lo Yishana Adam Eolam, that people should never bring the Ola more than once? Why aren't we careful about that? So that's what the Gemara is saying. We don't have to be, because if you want to bring an Ola, bring an Ola. Meaning, if you're interested in the school of Rashirus, so no less Nidava, anyone can bring an Ola. But when it comes to the Ketores, where it's more limited in terms of how many times you can bring it, so that's why we have to be makbid, that a person can only do it once. Tosfos Rosh just wonders, why is it so coveted to bring the Ketores if you could have the same skula just by bringing an Ola? Meaning, you don't get anything with the Ketores, so you didn't get with the Ola in terms of the Ashirus. So Tosfos Rosh has that kasha on the whole thing. If you assume like the Tosfos Yeshanim that the Ola also comes with the skula for Ashirus, if you assume like Rashi, it's not a kasha, because the Ola doesn't have a skula for Ashirus, it's only the Ketores that has a skula for Ashirus. So as we mentioned yesterday, this is the basis for the idea that a person doesn't do it more than once, the Ketores more than once, is the basis for the idea that a person doesn't serve as tzaddik more than once. Because the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Mem Zayin, says that when Avram Avinu circumcised all the Bnei Habayis, all the Bnei Beso, Avram Avinu had thousands of followers, according to the Rambam, and the tens of thousands of followers, according to the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So he took all the foreskins and he made a small mountain out of them, and then the sun shone on that mountain, and the what seemed like a putrid aroma was as pleasant to the Ribbono Shel Olam as the Ketores. So based on that measure, you say, oh, that a Mila is like Ketores. The doing Bris Mila is similar to Ketores. So a lot of ramifications for that. The Darkei Moshe writes in Yardeis and Reish Samachay that a Sandik has a bigger chiyuv to get an aliyah on the morning of the bris than the Mayel does, because the Sandik is considered to have been makrav the Ketores. The Mayel is doing a wonderful mitzvah that day, but the Sandik is makrav the Ketores. That's what the Rama writes in Reish Samachay Sifir Aleph, in the name of the Mariel, that you shouldn't serve as a Sandik twice based on this idea of Ketores. But there are a lot of other ramifications of it. Just by the way, in terms of the serving more than once, the Gra on that halacha in the Ramah, the Gra says he doesn't understand. Lo re'inu sandik mis'asher. He said, I've never seen it. I've never seen someone be a sandik and all of a sudden he becomes wealthy. So it's hard to understand that it's a skula for ashirus. So a lot of the achronim try to work on what to do with this maril. So the Chassam Sofer writes in that very same tshuva that it's possible that the sins of a sandik prevent him from having the bracha of wealth take effect, but the bracha is there. It's just that there are other factors. It's a complicated calculus to determine which brachos a person is going to get. The Makor Chesed quotes the Marei Naim, who says that Aser Bishvil Shetes Asher, Chazal have a guarantee that if you give a lot of tzedakah, you become wealthy. So that's becoming wealthy is fulfilled not by becoming, by having a larger bank account, but by being sameach b'chelko. So maybe a sandik is more sameach b'chelko. He has that pride that he served as a sandik, so he's sameach b'chelko. Rav Sternbach writes in Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, Chelek Aleph Sim Tavkuf Pei Dalid, that wealthy also could mean that you have gzeros or ra'os that are against his family, that are nullified. So maybe that's the Ashirus. You don't even realize all the different brachos that one has in life, that they can all count as Ashirus. That's what they say, that they ask the stipler ones. I don't understand. You're sandik all the time. How come you're not rich yet? He never became rich. He would sell his farm. He'd make his parnasa from selling his farm, and he never became wealthy. He said, what are you talking about? I have Rav Chaim Kanievsky as a son. That's not rich. So that Ashirus is defined differently by different people. The Ramah also quotes from the Maharil that you should go to the mikveh before being a sandik. Again, that probably also relates to it being a ktoris, even though in Darkei Moshe he says, chumr bi'alma ve'enog in Cain, you don't really have to do it, but the Maharil thought that you do, that you should go to the mikveh if you're going to be a sandik, and that must also be based on this idea that it's related to ktoris. Maybe the reason we're so makvi that we do bris milah in shul, we always do it in a shul, is because it's a mikdash ma'at, and you're makdir ktoris in the base hamikdash. The Sefer Bris Avos and Simon Hay quotes a machlokas whether a katan is allowed to serve as a sandik. L'chaor, it's dependent on this very issue, that if serving as a sandik is like being maktir ketores, then the katan absolutely cannot do it. Nadib Yehuda writes in a tshuva that the reason that we don't repeat being a sandik is not based on ketores. It has nothing to do with ketores. It's based on giving truma to the same kohen. You shouldn't give all of your truma to the same kohen. You should try to spread the wealth. Oh, if that's the case, then maybe a katan can be a sandik. The Sefer Zecher David writes that a sandik shouldn't work on the day of the bris because it's like a little yantif for him. And the Yerushalmi says that a person shouldn't work on the day he brings karbanos. So maybe in that way, it's also connected to the ketores. There's also a minag that in Sephardic communities, certainly, but I've seen it elsewhere, that after a bris, you ever see this, that people start lining up and the sandik gives brachas to all the people. Why all of a sudden he's giving brachas? Why he became a rebbe after he serves the sandik? No, he became a kohen. A kohen is makdir the ketores. So he has like his chelik in kahuna, so to speak, that you're related to being maktir ketores. Okay, so a lot of different parallels that we may have between bris milah and the ketores. So says the Gemara Vayitin now. So the Gemara discusses which shvatim are most likely to become the great poskim of Klal Yisrael. Amar Rav Lamashkachas Tzur Merabon Demori Ela Da'asi Mishevet Levi or Mishevet Yisachar. If you want to find young Talmid Chacham who are great poskim, you'll find that they all come from Shevet Levi or Shevet Yisachar. Ben Yoyada says there are a lot of Shoftim and Nevi'im and Tanoim from other Shvatim as well. It means that Alpi Rov, meaning you'll find a greater concentration of poskim from these two Shvatim. The Iyun Yaakov says no. You'll find poskim an equal number of poskim from everyone. Sur Mirabon doesn't just mean a poskim. It means a young Talmid Chacham, that people will achieve that level at a younger age. Dafka from these Shvatim, from Shevet Levi or Shevet Yisachar. How do I know this? Levi, Dichsev, Yoru, Mishpatech Liyakov. So it says Yoru, that there'll be Mora Hara. Yisachar, Dichsev, Umibre Yisachar, Yode Bina Li'itim, Ladas, Mayasa, Yisrael, that they'll be able to instruct on how to behave. Ve'ema Yehuda Nami, Dichsev, Yehuda Mechokaki. Why don't we say Yehuda also? Because the Pasuk in Tehillim says Yehuda Mechokaki, meaning that they give chukim and mushpatim, that they also instruct in halacha. So says Mar Sugah Shmeis Alibidilch Sakamina. No, we're talking about people who are mora halacha lemaisa. Levi and Yisachar zocha to that. Shevet Yehuda were great teachers of Torah, but not as far as paskin halacha lemaisa. The Meiri explains that to paskin halacha lemaisa, you don't only need to know a lot of Torah. That's step one. You have to have a lot of Torah, and you have to have a mesorah. But step two is that you also have to have a strong sense of judgment. That there's like it's hard to even like put your finger on it. There's like a posek gene. It's like someone who has just the capacity to be able to judge things properly. I know some, you could see it sometimes. You see Talmidei Chacham that are wonderful, wonderful Jews, wonderful people, wonderful teachers of Torah, big bekim in all the shas. I would never ask them a shayla. It's just like they don't have like that sense of judgment of how to balance the different considerations. So Shevet Yehuda was that. They just didn't have the psak halacha gene. Nothing wrong. It's It's just that wasn't their koach. Levi and Yisachar had that sense of psak halacha. Tosfos writes, wait a second, we want to bring a pasuk about Yehuda. Why are we quoting a pasuk in Tehillim? The Torah also says in Yaakov's bracha to his children, lo yasur shevim Yehuda u'mechokek mibein raglav. The whole point is that it says mechokek or chokeki. So why do we have to quote a pasuk in Tehillim? You have a pasuk in the Torah. So Tosfos suggests because that pasuk is not descriptive. It's a blessing of what should be. Whereas the pasuk in Tehillim is descriptive of what already is. So we'd rather quote a pasuk that actually describes what Yehuda already is. So I asked the Marsha, what, you don't think Yaakov's brachos are going to be fulfilled? For Yaakov's brachos, what's a blessing of what should be is really a description of what is, because that Yaakov wasn't just Stam giving brachos. He wasn't just Stam saying nice things that should happen. When he was giving his brachos, he was getting to the very core of what they were and what they were meant to accomplish. So in Siach Yitzchak, he suggests that you're right, Yaakov's brachos are niskayim, but nevertheless, if there's another pasuk that's said in a way that's descriptive, we'd rather use that pasuk. And that's why we understand that when we come to Shevet Levi, we quote Yoram Mishpatech Yaakov, which is a bracha, because there's no other possibility of a pasuk to quote that's descriptive. Meaning a bracha would be a good enough pasuk to quote. It's just that if there's another pasuk that's more than a bracha, that's actually descriptive of what it already is, then we'd prefer that pasuk. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses Kohanim who do the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Mefaisna Al Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. They don't do a new pious for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. El Koin Shezach B'Mashach. Whoever did it in the morning, they do it again in the afternoon, the same job in the afternoon. So the Gemara is going to have a few challenges. Challenge number one, it says beferish in the Brisa, that just like they did a pious in the morning, they also do a pious bein arbaim. Yeah, for the ketores, they do a separate pious bein arbaim, because you can't have the same guy bring the ketores twice, so they need a new pious for the ketores. But for the Talmud, they don't need a new pious. Tanya says, I'll challenge you again, Shem Shem Faisin Lo Shachris Kach Mefaisin Lo Arvis. If we're Ketores, it should have said La, not Lo. So it's clearly talking about the Tamid, and apparently we do a separate pious in the afternoon. Says Mara Ema La. No, that's a typo. It really meant to say La, and it's referring to the Ketores, it's not referring to the Tamid. Okay, challenge again. Vatanya Kishem Shem Faisin Lo Shachris Kach Mefaisin Lo Arvis. Kishem Shem Faisin Lo Shachris Kach Mefaisin Lo Arvis. So this price is pretty explicit because it says Lo and La. So you can't just fix it by saying it only means to say la. So it's pretty clear that they would do another pious for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. So Amar Shlomo Yitzchak Hacha B'Shabbos Askina and Hol Mishmaros Mischachos. You're right. One day a week they would have to do another pious for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. The rest of the week we stand by our original statement that the same Kohanim who did the Tamid Shel Shachar are the same ones that do Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. But on Shabbos they switched out Mishmaros, so it was different Kohanim who were eligible to who were doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So since they changed shifts, the shifts switched over in the middle of the day, so they needed a new Kohanim to do with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim on Shabbos. According to what we thought originally, that there would be Mephais each and every day, even on the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, wouldn't that add an extra Pious? And we said in the Mishnah Daf Chav Beis that there are only four Payasos in the Beis HaMikdash. If you held that there was a Pious for the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, that would have been five Payasos. So Maisi Kulu Mitzah for Asu, Zachi be Shachris, Zachi, Zachi Barvis, Zachi. That no, we're not suggesting that they gather a fifth time. What we were suggesting is that they would do a pious to when they got together in the morning to do the pious for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. They would also do a pious to determine when they got together in the morning to do the pious for the Tamid Shel Shachar. They would also do a pious in that same gathering to determine who does the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. But not that they would gather together again. Kizenachinami. There was only four times that they had the whole tumult where everybody got together to do a pious. Harvi chadashim mimishanim. Then the Mishnah said that for the fourth pious, you don't only have new people. Even people who have already done it can join in that pious. So Masnis, in our Mishnah, that says that they would do a pious to determine who brings the Evarim from the ramp up to the Mizbeach, Delok Rabbi Lozman Yaakov. It's against Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, Ditnan, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov Omer, Hamal Evarim LaKevesh,
Who malos on the mizbeach?
The same one who, whichever kohen brought it up to the ramp, is the one that brings it from the ramp up to the top of the mizbeach. So b'maikam mifugi, what is the machlokas? Whether it's the same one, or you have new people that are malah from the kevish to the mizbeach. Mar savar bravam hadrusmel. The Tan of our Mishnah says is guided by the pasuk in Mishlei bravam hadrusmelach that when you have more kohanim that are osik in the avoda, it's a greater cover to the ribbono shalom, and therefore we're mosif more kohanim to be involved in bringing the Avarim from the Kevish to the Mizbeach. Whether more Kohanim means six more Kohanim or even just one more Kohen who does all of it, that's the Machlokes Rashi and Ritva we saw before. But still, you don't want the same people who are involved in bringing it to the Kevish bringing it up to the Mizbeach. You may as well get more people involved because getting more people involved, you have Bravam Hadras Melech, Umar Savar, whereas Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says it was the same people that did it, that brought it to the Kevish, that are going to bring it up to the Mizbeach, Makam Shechina, Lav Aruchara, that it's not Derech Eretz, it's the Kohanim that bring the limbs to the kevesh shouldn't then continue and finish the job and bring it all the way up. You're supposed to try to finish the job. Wait a second. Bravam Hadras Melech is a concept we have all over Shas. It's in like 12 places in Shas, the concept of Bravam Hadras Melech. Nowhere else does it say, Umar Savar, that we're not guided by Bravam Hadras Melech, that there's this counter consideration. So are we suggesting Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov rejects the idea of Brava Madras Melech as a matter of halacha, that it's just a comment to the pasuk in Mishlei that's not meant la halacha to determine the halacha? So Tosis points out, no. I feel Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov the Ksav Racha de Lav Aruchara near the Modu Beid the Tamin Ishchat Berav Pesach Shachit Yisol the Kibul Hakoyin Nosel Chaver VChaver LeChaveru Ad VaHakoyin Hakoyin Beit Samozeh Zorkos Rikachas Kneged Yisod. He's going to agree what the Gemara in Pesachim says. Brava Madras Melech. What does Gemara in Pesachim say? That they had a whole assembly line when they'd be passing the dam of the carbon Pesach, the one coin to the next coin to the next coin. Why can't you just have a guy bring the dam and bring it all the way to the Mizbeach? Why do they have a whole assembly line? Oh, Barava Madras Melech. But Blazer Yaakov agrees to that as well, that you're going to say, they're going to say Bravam Hadras Melech. He says the Hasam Lo Shaych Leim Lav Aruchara, because over there you're not going to say Lav Aruchara, that it's disrespectful. Meaning over there, what happens as soon as one kohen passes the dam to the next kohen, he gets another cup of dam from that. So he's constantly involved in the mitzvah. So you're not going to say it's Lav Aruchara. But over here, if the kohen bring the limbs to the kevish and then they walk away and that's it, they're done. So they disengage from the avoda. So that's where you have the competing factor of Lav Aruchara. But in general, if you're going to maintain involvement, you're still going to say Beravam Hadras Melech. Beravam Hadras Melech comes up later in Maseches Yuma in a different context. The Gemara is going to tell us that the Kohen Gadol reads from the Torah, and as many people as possible come and listen. So what's that about? Beravam Hadras Melech, that everyone should be involved in watching him do his mitzvah, providing an audience for him doing a mitzvah. That's also Beravam Hadras Melech, meaning even if the people that are involved aren't actively engaged in the mitzvah, that's also Beravam Hadras Melech to even give an audience to the mitzvah. You have a principle of Bravam Hadras Melech when a lot of people are doing a mitzvah, that and each one is doing the mitzvah individually on their own. Have them do it together. Just have them do it as a group rather than individually. Right? It's a greater Kiddush Shem Shemayim when people come together to learn in the Beis Medrash than each person sitting alone. Where do you find that? You find that in the Mishnah Maseches Bikurim. By Bikurim we find that every person's got to bring their own Bikurim. They have to bring the first fruits to Yerushalayim next to the Mizbeach. Yeah, what do? They gather together outside of Yerushalayim, all the people that are Mevi and Bikurim, and they make a whole parade all together. Why? Just have each individual come, and they come and they come on their own schedule. No, Baravam, Hadras Melech, you get a lot of people together to do the mitzvah together. But over here you see this idea of the getting as many people involved. That if you have one mitzvah to do, split it among many different people, and that's a key of Brava Madras Melech as well. That's what you have sometimes, that's what most schools, what we do in, and thank God we're back to, but we weren't doing during Corona times, of Psicha, right? The one person opens the Aron and gives it to the Chazan, and the Chazan brings it to the Bima, and then the Balkore opens the Torah to read from the Torah, as opposed to, why not just have, the Balkore is fully capable, we discovered, he can go, he can open the Aron, he can take the Torah out, he can close the Aron, he can bring it to the thing, he can do everything. So why do we have so many different people involved? Beravam Hadras Melech, that's the principle of Beravam Hadras Melech. So it takes on many different forms. So now the Gemara discusses the number of payasos according to each of the Tanaim. Amar Rava, lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says Rabbi Yudav, lo Rabbi Yudav says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that they would not be mefayis for bringing the Evarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach, can't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who said in Chafeim Beis that they would not be mefayis for for the shoveling. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Zman Yaakov. Dim Kain, because if you're going to say that one of them holds like the other one, so Batzulu Payasos, you'll be missing from the four Payasos, because you're only going to have three times that they get together. V'imishkachas Tana Detani Hahu Delok Rabbi Detani Chamesh. And if you're going to find a Tana that holds that there are in fact Chamesh Payasos and not four Payasos, Hahu Delok Rabbi Zman Yaakov Delok Rabbi Yehuda, that must be that they hold like neither Rabbi Zman Yaakov nor like Rabbi Yehuda, so they're going to have an extra pious because they don't hold of either of those shitos. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, Tamid Karav B'tisha Ba'asara Ba'acharasar B'shnei Masar Lo Pachas V'Yoser. The Karmat Tamid involves either 9 Kohanim, 10 Kohanim, 11 Kohanim, 12 Kohanim, no less and no more than those numbers. Ketzad, so how does that play out? Atzmo B'tisha, the actual Karmat Tamid was B'tisha with 9 Kohanim. 5 of them bring the limbs to the ramp, and one of them brings the kirbayim, and one of them brings the isaron of solus, the minchas nesachim of the tamid, and one of them brings the minchas chavitin of the kohen gadol that was brought each day together with the karmat tamid, and one of them brings the yayin for the nesachim that go together with the karmat tamid. But b'chag, when it came time for sukkahs, where on top of that, on top of the nesachim of yayin, you also had nisuch hamayim, so biyad echad sochus shel mayim harei kanasara. So you have one extra kohen that needs to be involved because he's got to bring the mayim to the mizbeach, and that's how you end up with 10 beinar bayim. And then when it came afternoon for the afternoon tamid on a regular day, ba'chadasar, you'd have 11 people. Why? Because hu atzmo betisha, you'd have the standard 9 for the tamid that you always had for tamid shel shachar. But then beinar bayim shnayim biyadim shnei gezira eitzim, you have to bring another 2 blocks of wood for the karmat tamid shel beinar bayim. So each one was bringing a block of wood. So you had 2 more people. So that's 11 people for the tamid shel beinar bayim. And b'shabbis b'chadasar, and on Shabbos also, even the morning Karban Tamid on Shabbos had 11 people. Why 11? Hu atzmo betisha, the basic foundational 9 that you have by every Karban Tamid. And then u'shnayim biyadim shnei b'zichei levona shalech ma'panim. They had to bring the spoons of levona from the shulchan that they had for the lech ma'panim. So you had 2 more kohanim that were involved in Shabbos. Ooh, b'shabbis shabbatoch achag. And if it was Shabbos during Sukkis, where you not only had the shnei b'zichei levona, you also had the guy bringing the mayim for nisuch hamayim. So now you had 12 people, 12 kohanim that were involved. The 9 original, 2 more for the b'zichei levona, and bi'arecha soch shel mayim, and one of them bringing for the nisuch hamayim. So the Tos Yontif points out that the guy who stands after the 15 kohanim that were zocha in the second pious, the 13 that we mentioned before, and the malichei b'zichim, he's the one that brought the soch shel mayim l'nisuch. Whoever was next on the list. Meaning these numbers are a little bit off from what we said previously, right? Meaning the Mishnah over here seems, Rashi points out, the Mishnah is not counting the shochet and the zorek that were mentioned in the Mishnah previously, on the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hei, because the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hei mentioned that there are 13, and over here we're saying Karv Betisha Basar Bachadasar B'Shnei Masar, so we're not saying 13 because we're missing a couple of people, because that anything that comes before Halacha Sevarim Lekevesh we're not going to mention, so our Mishnah doesn't mention that, even though that also obviously gets included in terms of what's distributed at the Shas HaPayis. Okay, says the Gemara now. Amar Rabbi Abba, v'item Rami Bar Chama, v'item Rabbi Yochanan. Ein menasch hamayim b'chag, ela b'tam shel shachar. Nisuch hamayim was only done in the morning, together with tam shel shachar, not together with tam shel benar bayim on Sukkis. Mimai, how do I know that? Midiktani, because the Mishnah rather says, u'b'shabbos shabtoch hachag, b'yad echod slach shel mayim, that on Shabbos, during Sukkis, there were 12 Kohanim that were involved in the Karban Tamid, and one of them in including the guy who was doing Nisuch HaMayim, but Vishal Kodaitach, but Tomashal Ben Arbayim and Nasrin, but if you hold that they did Nisuch HaMayim in the afternoon as well, B'chol Na'am Mishkachasa, then even on a weekday of Sukkot, you could have a way that there were 12 Kohanim involved. How so? The afternoon Karban Tamid, you had the 9 that you have in every Karban Tamid, and the Shnei Gzireitz Eitzim that they would bring in the Tomashal Ben Arbayim, so that adds another 2, and Nisuch HaMayim, so that would add another person. So from the fact that we don't account for the possibility that there are are 12 Kohanim involved in a weekday Tamid Shalbein Arbayim, must be that they didn't do Nisuch HaMayim in the afternoon. Nisuch HaMayim was only done in the morning. Says Gemara, yeah, and I could prove that. Amar Rav Ashi Afana Nami Tanina. We have a Mishnah that bears that out, that they would not do Nisuch HaMayim in the afternoon, they only did Nisuch HaMayim in the morning. There's a Brisa Masechah Sukkah that discusses the Menasech Omrin Lo, the person who's being Menasech HaMayim, Al Gabi Mizbech, the other Quranim would tell him, Hagbei Yodecha. You have to lift up your hands at the time of Nisuch so that we could see exactly where you're pouring the water. And the reason they had to do this, we had this concept already earlier, that there was this deep concern, this great concern, that the tzedukim were taking over the halavoda, and that they were doing everything against what the Torah Shabbal Peh says. Because Shapam Acha Nisech Al Gabe Raglav, one time he had a kohen who was a tzeduki, and he poured the water al Raglav, and he did not pour it into the bowl that's on the top of the Mizbeach, because the tzedukim are not moda b'nisach hamayim, they don't hold of nisach hamayim. The Gemara Maseches Tainus points out that nisach hamayim is something that's purely from the Torah Shebal Peh. It's not from the Torah Shebal Ksav. It's not. It's derived from an unusual drasha of a mem, a yud, and a mem, and somehow we figured together that it refers to Nisuch HaMayim. So that if you're comfortable with the Torah Shebal Peh, you're definitely not going to hold of Nisuch HaMayim. So this Tzeduki poured it on his foot, Urugamu kala amba esrogein, and everyone pelted him with their esrogin. So that's why they would tell him, Hagbei Yadecha, that you should lift up your hands. So why does the Mishnah have to tell me that they pelted him with their esrogim tafka? Just say that they got very angry at him, or that they pelted him with some. Why do you have to mention that it was with their esrogim? It must be telling me that it's at a time that they were carrying their esrogim, and you take your esrog in the morning when you're saying halal, because esrog is supposed to go together with halal, which is in the morning. So you see from there that nisach hamayim is only done in the morning b'chag, and it's not done in the afternoon. Shema mina, says the Gemara, that seems to be a very strong raya. It's interesting though, because it's not such a strong raya. L'chora, the Gemara Masechta Sukkah Mem Aleph and Beis tells us that the Anshei Yerushalayim used to have a practice that wherever they went all day long in Sukkot, they took their esrogim with them. They holchu levakaras acholah lelavim biyadam, holchu lebeis medrash lelavim biyadam, holchu wherever they went their lelavim biyadam. They always carried their lulav with them. And Rav Salvage pointed out that in general people didn't, when the Mishnais point things out like this, it's not just because it's a nice idea. No, it's a kiyum. There's a kiyum of something every moment maybe that you're carrying your lulav and esrog. It's a kiyum a mitzvah. So how can you say you're so sure that it must have been in the morning, because why else would they be carrying their esrogim? So Tosi Shannon raises this question. He says, Mistaber, that the Anshei Yerushalayim were not in the Azara at the time of the Karban the Tamid Shalbein Arbayim, because it's not the Zman of Tefillah. So the point is that we highlighted Masechta Sukkah that it was Dafka the Anshei Yerushalayim that had such a practice. But whoever was there were not part of that group of Anshei Yerushalayim. In the Siach Yitzchak, he just adds that it's not even the Zman of Tfilas Mincha, because they used to daven before the Hakravas Karmel Tamid Shalbein Arbayim. So by the time they were doing the Tamid Shalbein Arbayim, the Anshei Yerushalayim wouldn't have been there. The Rashash has a different teretz. He suggests that you can't say that those who stoned the Kohen were the Anshei Yerushalayim, because Anshei is Lashon Chashivos. And the Gemara says, Rugmu Kala Am. They have to pay careful attention. In Hebrew language, we use different words to describe Chashiva people and less Chashiva people. So like an Am Haaretz, right? Kala Am means everybody. It means the Hamon Am. Whereas Anshei implies very chashva people. So that's how we know it's not the same people that were involved with the stoning. So Shema Minah, the Ritva also says, wait a second, this is a Tvar Mitzvah. How are you allowed to take a Cheftashal Mitzvah and pelt somebody with it? That seems totally disrespectful to the Mitzvah. So the Ritva says, no, it was also a Mitzvah to pelt them with it. So there was that was also a Mitzvah at that moment. So they are doing a Mitzvah with it. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanya, Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, how do I know that you need two Kohanim for the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim and Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim? Because the Pasuk says, V'orchu Eitzim. So, Imeinu Inyan Tamid Shel Shachar. If it's not about Tamid Shel Shachar, Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'ir Ala Kohen Eitzim, Baboker Baboker, V'orch Alel, Tineu Inyan Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So, we'll associate instead with Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. V'eima Idi V'idi B'Tamid Shel Shachar, V'amar Achmana, Avid V'hadar Avid. Maybe it's all about the Tamid Shel Shachar. The Torah is telling me to do it twice, bring Shnei Gezirei Eitzim twice in Shachar, imke nemakro uvir uvir. Then it should have said uvir twice. So yikas v'rachmana uvir hava amina chadin trei lo. If it would have said uvir b'loshun yachid, I would think that it's only that twice one kohen brings shnei gezireitzim. So kamash malan. That's why the pasuk has to tell me uvir b'loshun yachid and va'orchu b'loshun rabim. Denavid chad v'navid trei. That originally one kohen brings and does all the sidur of shnei gezireitzim, and then afterwards another two kohanim come with with another Shnei Gzireitzim in the Tamash Rabbeinu Arbaim. Im Kein, name a cross. So the Gemara is asking questions. How does the Brisa know that Varuch Reitzim Al Eish is talking about the Shnei Gzireitzim of Tamash Rabbeinu Arbaim? Maybe it's all in Shachar, and one Kohen comes and arranges, and another two Kohenim come and bring it. So Im Kein, name a cross. Uviar, Uviaru. Im Kein, Inami, Va'arach, Va'archu. My Uviar, Va'archu. Why does it mix and match in terms of using different terminology? Uviar and Archu. Shema Minah Kedekar Minah. It must be, like we said in the Brisa, that from the Pasuk Uviar, it's about the Tamash Shel Shachar, because it says Baboker, and that's, you have one Kohen bring the Shnei Gezirim, and Va'archu is talking about the Tamash Shel Ben Arbaim, where two Kohenim bring Shnei Gezirim. Tani Reb Chia, Pais Pa'amim Shlosha Asar, the Pais of the Avodah Satab, and sometimes there were 13 Kohenim that were Zacha, Pam Arba Asar, Pam Chamisha Asar, Pam Shisha Asar, and as many as 16. Va'atanya Shiva Asar, but didn't we learn that there could be as many as 17? Hahu, the Lok Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Elok Rabbi Yehuda. That must be against Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the same Kohanim that brought the Evarim to the ramp, brought it up from the ramp to the top of the Mizbech, but rather like Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with him and holds that they did another pious for the Kohen, who is going to be Zocha to bring it all the way up, to bring it on to the top of the Mizbech. And that's how you get those numbers. Those numbers seem inflated because that's counting the Shochet and the Moloch. That's counting the ones that we didn't count in our Mishnah. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis. Everyone have a great day. Good Shabbos, everyone.